tell you? What did I tell you? Bill's out today. O'Reilly, done, finished at the network. Fox News, without its most important, most valuable asset. Don't worry, I am still here. And I will remain your most valuable asset here on the program. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. 800-222-KBC, 800-222-5222, if you would like to be on the program today. Also, you may email me, sam@samnation.com. I check that throughout the show, and if you have some comments on something that I can use and fit in, I will read it on the air. Now, okay, I have reactions to this, and you might be a little bit surprised. Well, let me pull from my stack here of things that all right, Breitbart. It's official. This is a headline that they ran this morning about 10 o'clock. It's official. O'Reilly done at Fox News. Followed up with the headline, Activist left gets monster scalp. Of course, this, you know, this suggests that O'Reilly's undoing is the cause of liberal activists who railed against him. And who led the boycotts that caused about 40 blue chip sponsors to bail on the O'Reilly factor. You know, they're dead wrong. Breitbart and every conservative commentator and even some of my very good friends who've called me all in a panic today. What's going on at Fox News? What are they doing? They're just giving in. They're giving in to these leftist agitators. What are, Sam, deliver us. The answer's, look, this isn't one of those scenarios where you have a guy on the radio or a gal, I'm adding Dr. Laura in there, right? Remember her? Who says one bad thing, who makes an inartful comment, where maybe, you know, a handful of words in a sea of thousands and thousands of thousands of words, a few of them might not be exactly the best. And you get the pot bangers out there, you know, the people who are protesting and shouting and screaming and demanding that, you know, off with their heads. That's different. You know, to me, this is when a person, because this is, I tell you, it's a tremendous pressure. You're on the radio, you're on TV, and this is not scripted. You know, you don't have your words written in front of you. They come to you, and you don't. The truth is, you don't always say the right thing. But that is a separate issue to chronic bad behavior. It is a different issue from being, you know, being a sexual harasser of women. And I look, you go back, and I didn't really get into the nitty gritty of it, but you know, there was one of the O'Reilly accusers had tapes. It was Andrea Macris, and she, in her complaint, in the complaint that was filed, her lawsuit, right? And when you file a lawsuit, there's a, you know, you see this pleading that you submit to the court, and you have to plead, you have to write a specific allegations in it, otherwise your lawsuit gets tossed out, right? So in the lawsuit, she's writing, you know, all the things that, you know, this transcript of a conversation. It's not good. It ain't pretty. And anybody, anyone in any business, you know, if a manager, if a supervisor, a leader, anybody says that kind of stuff to a coworker, they're gone. I shared a story about it, you know, yesterday. I'm telling you, this is from my. It's not just a legal perspective on it. It's just as a manager, okay, as a business owner, as an organizational leader, you cannot tolerate this kind of behavior. And conservatives, look, I'll speak to you for a minute. I get your frustration and your angst because the thing that is galling about it is their people are never held to the same standard as ours. And my answer to that is, yeah, so what? That doesn't make it okay. We have got the problem here are the bad acts. The problem here is that a guy like O'Reilly is a target. He's a conservative guy. He's a friend of Trump's. I mean, of course people are gunning for him. So why is a guy, you know, the more public of a figure you are, because you see that, you've seen some of his comments. He laments being a public figure. He laments being famous. This is what happens to famous people. And I get it. I remember, we one time fired somebody at the office and it was really sad because the lawyer, she went to a lawyer, and the lawyer, I can tell you about this, the lawyer said, well, you don't really have a wrongful termination claim, but if you make allegations against, you know, your employer saying that there's harassment and that type of thing, your claim has more merit. That actually happened to me once. And I'm really lucky, I'll be honest with you, that the person involved has a conscience and ended up, walking away from it and felt terrible and called me up and said, hey, this is what my lawyer told me. I just want you to know I don't want to go. That's nonsense. That actually happened to me. So I'm not disputing. I'm reading. There's an article. Where is it? I got it in my stack here. Stack of stuff. Michael Wolff. This is a guy writing for the Hollywood Reporter. And he writes about how, he's basically diminishing all these complaints, all these sexual harassment complaints. He's saying they were quickly investigated and they weren't, there's never been a trial. There's never been any witnesses speaking under oath. Look, and he's right in the sense I'm not there. I can't speak to it, but I know from experience that you can get to the bottom of things pretty quickly and you can go to trusted sources and you can investigate this and you don't need a trial necessarily or people being, deposed under oath to get to the bottom of something. And so the complaint I'm hearing is, yes, this is an orchestrated effort that there's this young generation. You've got the younger Murdochs, Lachlan and James, who are pushing their father to remake Fox News, to make it this nicer network. I've seen that. I've heard that a number of places today. Maybe you think that. I understand. But two comments about this. One, since when did we as conservatives, start to think that or presume that we could tell a private company? This is Fox News Channel is a privately held family business. I don't care how many commas there are in their bottom line. It's a family business. Since when do we as conservatives presume to tell a family business what to do? That's not who we are. Certainly not who I am. I think this company has an absolute right to do what they feel is best for their company. If they want to move Fox News away from being a conservative news channel and being, Radio Free Beijing, fine. I'm not going to watch it. Neither are you. It's going to be crap. They're going to lose money. Their ratings are going to sink and they're going to be another CNN. They're going to be a CNN, junior. And let that be their financial loss. This is how economics work. So this is cleaning house. This is a company exercising their business judgment. This is a private business making a choice. And it's just been framed, and this probably if you sense I'm a little bit frustrated. I'm just seeing this being framed the wrong way everywhere. I'll put another example. Glenn Beck headline here, and this was pulled. I believe this is from the Hollywood Reporter. But Glenn Beck. By the way, in this picture, it looks like a. looks like a constipated gopher. He's gone off the deep end, by the way. He really has. Glenn Beck predicts the end of Fox News. It's not going to go away right away, Beck said of Fox News, but you're seeing a significant weakening. Suggested that company patriarch Rupert Murdoch won't stop sons James and Lachlan from killing off the cable channel. You always have to, when you're examining a news source and anybody giving their opinion, you got to examine what's their bias. And remembering back, you know, Beck has a complicated history with Fox News. He was there. He was a host. Then he got a little bit crazy. Remember, he'd look in the camera and start crying and talking about cataclysmic, you know, end of the world events. And even back then, Roger Ailes was like, pal, you got to go. You're done here. Okay, you're a little too kooky for your own good, and they fired him. So there's that. But I also think this is, and also, by the way, this is from Glenn Beck, who himself has run his own media company into the ground. So maybe he's coming from a place of authority on the subject. No, this is what is fairly consistent. This is fairly consistent with the broader conservative media commentary on what's going on. And it's wrong. It's wrong. You want an example of why? You want a good... Okay. All right. Sean Hannity. Everyone I've ever talked to... Sean Hannity is beloved at the network. Even look, Peter Tilden, just talking about it. Sean Hannity is beloved, you know, his colleagues like him, the libs like it. Now, Sean Hannity, he's almost so conservative, you know, Republican fanboy that it's difficult for me sometimes to stomach. There's no critical thought going on at times. It was my opinion here. So it's not that he's conservative. It's not that it's not his conservative opinions that are driving a love for him, right? I mean, in many ways, O'Reilly and the views that were expressed on O'Reilly's show are far more centrist. So Sean's staying, right? He's there. It really, you just strip the layers here. You take it down. You've got a host that's yelling at people. I'm talking about O'Reilly. Yelling at people, making them cry, doing things, making sexual comments to women, trying to initiate sexual relationships with women. He's a divorced guy. I mean, he's free to be with whomever he wants. Just don't, you know, do not do it at work. I thought in New York City, there's a lot of fish out there. You know, you really, what it is it's a chronic behavior. There's a certain thing there. There's a screw loose where you have to do it at work, and it's a power thing. And that for a company, it's my point for the company. This is playing with fire. You can't just tolerate it and think that eventually this thing's going to smooth over and be fine. And it becomes more of an issue. You know how much they made? By the way, Fox News made $1.5 billion this year alone, profit, so far. I don't know when their fiscal year starts. I don't know if it's just 4 months or if it's longer than that. I don't care. Anybody's partial year, $1.5 billion is a ton of money. They are number one of the 15 top cable shows. They own 13 of them. So why? So here's the deal, though. They've got gobs of money. They could keep paying these people out. You know, what's 13 million, right? That's what they've paid these women. What's 13 million? That's not the issue. It's not about the payouts to the victims or to the purported victims. It's about the culture in the company. And if it demoralizes staff, if it makes the little people feel like they don't matter and it's all about the big host and he can do whatever he wants to anybody, anywhere, anytime, I am telling you as a manager, that is unacceptable and eventually will lead to decay from within. I guarantee it. So yeah, that's the summation of this, and I think Fox News has made a right move. So anyway, I'll tell you, there's more hypocrisy out there. This is, hypocrisy goes both ways. You've been following this news story about the shooter up in Fresno and the hypocrisy there. I'm going to get into it here. It's very interesting stuff. Okay, so we'll be back right after this.
Talk radio, talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rudzowski back behind the microphone here at the Sam Nation Studios, broadcasting from an undisclosed location deep behind the Orange Curtain. Safe from all the crazy liberals in Los Angeles. Just kidding, just kidding. We have some liberals here, too. 800-222-5222 if you want to be on the program. So the shooting in Fresno. Look, really not a lot of people have been talking about it, to be honest. There's a lot of other stuff that suddenly happened in the news that many of the mainstream left-wing media have decided is more important. But the fascinating takeaway here is the almost imperceptible bias that is out there. I'll illustrate this for you. Because I desperately want us all to be educated on spotting this bias. Because I know these people like the back of my hand, and I can smell this nonsense a mile away. The LA Times, my favorite source for non-journalism. Well, what is this Muhammad Corey Ali Muhammad shooting up in Fresno analogous to? So I'm pretty basic and transparent when it comes to this stuff. To me, this guy was a racist, right? He's a racist. I mean, well, how do we know it? Well, when he got arrested, he said, "I hate white people," and he shot three white people or four of them, but three succumbed to their injuries. His Facebook is littered with absolute racist statements. Find white people, open fire on them. Your time is up, you white devil skunks. Let's see, what else? A photo of a smiling, happens to be a black man, smiling black man. My face when grafted white devils die. Okay, I don't think I have to be a brilliant investigator to think that this person might not like, you know, white people. Okay, so it was a racially motivated attack. What is it analogous to? Well, there are plenty of crazy white supremacists that attack black people on the basis of the color of their skin. Just as wrong. Recent one was Dylann Roof, right? Remember that guy went to a black church, opened fire, killed 9 people. Horrific. So I went back and I looked at the LA Times talking about Dylann Roof. Now, I want to point out that this is okay. So I'm not even going to get into the meat of the article. I'm just talking about the opening paragraph, summing up and framing who Dylann Roof is. Listen carefully. From the LA Times. Dylann Roof, the white supremacist charged with fatally shooting 9 black members of a black Bible study class, in South Carolina, stood stiffly in a federal courtroom Thursday as a jury foreman, forewoman repeated 8 words over and over again, "We find the defendant guilty." Okay. All right. So, white supremacist charged with fatally shooting 9 black members of Bible study class. Okay. All right. It's accurate. They nailed it. Oh, where's the story on the Fresno shooting? Oh, here it is. Listen to this. A Fresno man known for advocating black separatism and making militant comments on social media shot and killed 3 people in downtown Fresno. Wait, what? It doesn't say that he shot 3 white people. It doesn't say that he himself is black. It doesn't say he's advocating for black separatism. Well, some of it is, yeah. And making militant comments. Militant comments? Let's see. Die, you white devils? Okay, I mean, that's a militant comment. It's a racist comment. And nothing, I tell you nothing, and we're going to get, I'm going to give you some better examples. This is the kind of thing in the media that absolutely gets my goose. We will never become a post-racial society until we call racism in whatever form, from whomever it comes, what it is. Okay? Racial bias, doesn't matter who says it or where it comes from, it's wrong. All right, we got John Wolf up with the news. He's not wrong. He's right all the time. Listen to him. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC, making radio great again, and talking about the Corey Ali Muhammad shooting up in Fresno. This guy, he's homeless, he's crazy, and he also hates white people. Pretty clear from looking at his Facebook and his comments. When he was arrested, he told police, "I hate white people." So there it is. Now, I am just fascinated by the way the media is treating this. Now, two things, right? One, the media isn't talking about it. I mean, they're busy talking about the flotilla and where it was and wasn't today. They're not talking about it. If it were reversed, if the story was that there was a deranged white guy shooting at black people, I'm telling you, it would get far more play because it fits the narrative that liberals want out there, which is that racism is one-sided. You know, there's a theory out there espoused by some on the left that says that you can't, there's no such thing as racism against white people. Do you have that? Do we have that article? I don't have it here, Robbie. Shoot it over to me if you can, because this is real. There are people that actually believe this. And so that's one thing. It's just the level of scrutiny that an incident like this gets. And I'm telling you, it gets less because it doesn't fit the narrative. And then the other thing is the way that the incident is described and the effort to downplay, right, to downplay, to minimize, to sweep under the rug any nexus between the act, the violence, and of course, right, of course what? The racism behind it. Now, I read to you the opening paragraph here in a piece for the LA Times. Veronica Rocha writes, and this is the introductory paragraph of a piece on what happened in Fresno. A Fresno man known for advocating black separatism and making militant comments on social media shot and killed three people in downtown Fresno. Really? Okay, I mean, you're right, technically. This is why we don't trust the media. Because you and I, this doesn't pass the smell test. The basic truth here is that this guy was racially motivated and he's fueled by a lot of the racist hatred that is being put out there by the very networks that now don't want to talk about it. What do I mean? Think about all the negative news stories, all the essentially pro Black Lives Matter narrative stories that advance the Black Lives Matter narrative on CNN. CNN has been the number one most excited network to talk about, I mean, a legitimate problem, right? We got police shooting people, but it's always a small percentage of people, and they focus on the bad stories. What else do they say? The narrative that Trump is a racist, that Trump has the dark forces of white supremacy working behind him and in the shadows of his administration. How many times have you heard that? And it's funny because, well, it's not funny, it's sad. Because you got a guy that's mentally ill, right? You got this Corey Muhammad guy, and he's watching the news. You know, he's not listening to this show. At least I don't think he is. But he's probably listening to CNN, and he hears all this stuff. And you know what? One of his posts was, Skunk Trump, the white power leader. I mean, that's the narrative on CNN, isn't it? You hear it all the time. And it's not true. Calling Trump and Steve Bannon, anybody in there, white supremacist, does a tremendous discredit to the real problems of some of the real racism that's out there in America. It's just nonsense, and it actually gets picked up by it gets picked up by the wrong people. This is the fruit of all this nonsense misinformation that's out there in the media. It's deliberate, by the way, totally deliberate. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
All right. I think we've got some technical difficulties. But at any rate, so what we've got, when you look at this this reverse racism question, all right, you've got, there's a news report here from The Sun, and they went and they Googled, is it possible to be racist as a white person? And the answer was fascinating. This is according to Google, right? This is coming up as a direct answer from Google through the, and I guess it's info that's there from the Huffington Post. The usage of the word racist relative to a hate speech by blacks on blacks or whites is incorrect. A subjugated group cannot be racist. They can only be prejudicial. White people have power to oppress black people because they control the system and economic structure and society. See? This is what I was just saying. White people are only the ones that can be racist because I guess white people control, you know, I don't know, everything. Never mind that, you know, I think we had 8 years. I don't know. What was Obama? I'm confused. I thought the most powerful man in the world was black. Whatever. All right. So here's the deal. This actually is the most racist thing ever, right? I mean, this is racist in and of itself. To say that there's a different standard for one race than the other, the only way to get beyond to where we ought to be someday, true post-racial society, where we're all created equal, we're living the Martin Luther King dream. This is not okay. This kind of thinking is not okay, and it permeates journalists, right? This is what a lot of the journalists that are writing for the LA Times, that are putting together the news stories for CNN, these people are exactly the ones who think this, and their approach to this then goes into the writing, goes into what they're putting on the screen. It's there. Well, I'll tell you, you have got to read with a critical eye and listen with a critical ear. It's so important. I'll tell you, you know what else is important? You know what we haven't heard in this thing? So we heard that there was a shooting, a mass casualty incident, I think is what some news reports called it. Did anyone say anything about gun control? I got a question about that. Did you hear anything about that? Not a word, not even a peep. Right? I mean, so when you had Adam Lanza attack the elementary school, right? And gun control, huge part of the conversation. Do you know why no one's bringing it up? You thought about that? The reason no one's bringing it up, honestly, is because this guy, right, Corey Ali Muhammad, he's a felon. He is a convicted felon who by law in California is barred from owning a gun. In other words, I'll put it to you in different words, right? I'll put it to you in liberal speak. Under California law, Corey Ali Muhammad is 100% gun controlled. So where the hell did he get his gun? Think about that. And another thing, I don't know if you know, but guns, look, there's revolvers and there's automatics. You know, in California, we have one of the big gun control measures is that we have we've got the magazines, right? The limited capacity magazines. Number of bullets that you can put in one of these magazines is 10. Well, you know, he managed to kill quite a few people with a revolver. I mean, a revolver, it's actually fewer bullets go in a revolver, depending on what kind. I mean, it could be 6, it could be 7, it could be 5. And he was reloading, and he still managed to... I mean, the point is, if it doesn't... Here's the real point. It's not even about gun control. It's not about racism. It's about if this doesn't fit, if the story doesn't fit the liberal narrative, they don't talk about it. They don't bring it up. They just move on. And they move on, honestly, to some pretty silly stuff. And I'll give you one great example of it when we come back right after this. All right. Stay tuned. We've got great stuff coming up. I promise.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
So I guess Colin playing Snoop Dogg was not planned. I just want to make that absolutely clear. Sam Rejofsky here, but it's true that unlike Bill O'Reilly, who apparently when he'd get mad in one of the lawsuits, he got so mad that he started taking his clothes off in the studio. You know, so Colin, you guys are good. I didn't take my clothes off over here. So we're, you know, everybody lives to see another day. Well, yeah. Okay. Hey, you know, you're wondering what's going on. So the big story's going on in the world, right? You've got the Fresno shooting. You got a real legit black racist out there who wants to kill white people. Perhaps a gun control, but not a gun control issue, right? Because this guy really shouldn't have had a gun, so the system totally didn't work. So what, you know, so with all of this going on, right, what is CNN talking about today? Here's a taste.
White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer doubled down today when questioned about misstatements the White House made about the USS Carl Vinson's location and movement.
It's trying to downplay the fact that the president and the White House last week suggested that a U.S. quote armada was approaching the Korean Peninsula.
I think they have a big credibility problem. They obviously had no idea where this aircraft carrier fleet was going.
We now know that the Vinson Strike Group at the time of the announcement was actually headed south and not north.
That confusing media message could have national security implications.
He's just emotionally incontinent. he just spews out whatever is has been fed to him.
Okay, I'm dying. Remember when Trump said that he wasn't going to give away military moves? Have you ever look? The whole point here is Trump said the armada is going to North Korea. Then it turned out that the armada, while headed to North Korea, made a pit stop in Australia. That's the news. You know, do you think the press put Truman in hot water for not announcing the exact location of the D-Day invasion? WTF? I don't get this. These people are completely nuts. It's actually bigger than that. They are so they're so angry and upset and feel so what's the word? They are so self-convinced that Trump is all of these things that they say that they're unable to look at anything objectively. And the result of it is that they have a very, very crappy analysis of anything that goes on. Good strategy is, if you've got a flotilla coming toward your enemy, is you don't exactly announce, hey, if you want to show a show of force, you tell them, hey, we're coming. We're on our way. And then if you make a pit stop, you don't say, oh, no, actually, sorry, Kim Jong-un, we're making a brief stop in Australia. Just, you know. You know who has good strategy here? It's not CNN. It is Trump. But you know who else? Our long-suffering sponsor. That's right, sweet James Bergner, the man himself. Trust me, when it comes to your legal case, you want someone who's going to be very strategic, okay? And that's James. He's a smart, sharp lawyer. His heart is in the right place, and he will fight for you to the bitter end to make sure that you get the justice that you deserve. Don't talk to the insurance company. Don't deal with some bozo out there who doesn't know what he's doing. Call James, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right. It's a wrap. We're finished up just like that. Back tomorrow, we'll have plenty to talk about, I am sure. Thank you for joining us. Always happy to be here with you. Always. Have a great Wednesday, and back tomorrow.
Can't stop, addicted to the shindig.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.